March the 7th, 2007, and it's Gary Korskaden and Gene Bevaird, and we're here to interview Mr. Dave Hoyt, longtime resident of Fairvale, and his friend Gail Lockery is sitting in on the interview as well.
Brenda
Lockery. It's fine, it's all being recorded now.
Yeah.
So Gene, you've already talked to Dave. You want to set it up there?
Okay, Dave, you were born where? In St. John?
I don't remember. I don't remember the instance. But it was in St. John.
St. John.
Yeah.
And it wasn't last year, was it? No.
No, it was 1914, yeah.
1914. Okay.
I remember it well.
April 2nd. Were you coming up?
Were you born in a hospital, or were you born?
Down the south end of St. John.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Was it the Evangeline Home?
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was there for quite some time. I don't know. I might have been born there too. I don't know. I'm not sure. How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I have a brother in Burnaby, I think he is, and
British Columbia.
Hmm?
Burnaby, British Columbia.
Yes.
Right.
I had a sister in Seattle, and another brother in Fredericton.
Right.
Harold.
Are they all living yet?
Harold isn't there anymore here, and Elizabeth is not here anymore. Otherwise, we're
When did you move to? When did you move to Renforth now?
Renforth?
Yes. When did you move out that way?
Came there in 1920.
1920.
Yeah.
Things were still pretty good around 1920, was they?
Everything was wonderful then.
Yeah.
We had a big veranda around the house, I remember, around the front of it.
But Depression hadn't started at that time. It was generally about around 1930.
Never heard of anything like that.
Yeah.
At that time, I didn't know there were such things as depressions.
No.
And the only depression I had is if my go-kart didn't work properly.
Yeah.
Right. All made one, or?
No, it was one that my father gave me for Christmas.
Yeah.
And you pedaled it, you know. You sat in and pedaled it, you know.
Right.
So I could pedal around the veranda, you see.
Sure.
But not all the way around.
Those things are very collectible now.
Yeah, but it's...
not left of it, I don't
know. Yeah.
Did you... when you were, up to 6 years of age, did you have any chores to do or anything like that around home? Or
no, not
did you have any chickens? Or
I made my mother do everything for me.
That's true.
Well, it's great that you got along that well. Now, you started school at Rossi. Consolidated School? And Rossi Consolidated School.
I missed the first day.
Pardon?
I missed the first day. I missed the van.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I missed it. I've been late ever since.
Oh, that was the... that's where you started your habit of coming in 2 hours late.
They had a van? Like a school bus type of thing?
No.
They had a horse van.
Horse van.
Two horses. Two horses hauled or something.
Really?
And how long was that?
Hmm?
How long was the van? About 15 feet?
Well, it wasn't very long. I can't remember. I suppose 20 kids got in it or something like that. 30 feet.
Have you noticed the van they're using now down at Renforth to take people on, it wouldn't be sleigh rides, but it's a wagon ride. It's all covered in.
Oh, yeah?
And it looks quite old. I don't know where they got it from, but I think that they go down around the retreat. They don't go up around the on the highway with it.
Likewise.
But I was surprised when I went down to look at the fishing shacks, and there was this big lineup waiting for something, and I didn't really know what it was for. So I turned the corner, and there was a wagon coming down the road. I suppose
horse-drawn,
yes. Rubber wheels on the on the wagon. Good.
You remember the wheels, your first? This were great, big, tall wheels, as I remember.
Right. Well, of course, the roads wouldn't be too good that at that time. You know. Mm-hmm. It would be just old wagon wheels on your.
Yeah, I imagine. Yes. Yeah.
Do you remember your first teacher? Would it be Mrs. McMurray?
That's right.
Mrs. McMurray was the first teacher. She was mine too, but she was.
She was there for many years.
She was going out. Was the Amante sisters teaching at that time?
Sometime, but she never taught me.
Me,
no. I've forgotten about her.
In that time, of course, you were carrying you weren't carrying it, you left
Marjorie Monteith.
Yeah, Marjorie Monteith, yeah. And then there was, of course, you, no notebooks then, you used a slate, eh?
I beg your pardon?
You used a slate. With a frame around it.
Yes, we all had a slate, as I remember.
Yeah, there was no notebooks. And these slate pencils. And it used to be the damnedest noise if the kid didn't hold the right angle. Lord. Well, screech.
Big board in the front of the
slate
board.
Those were the days, I guess. do you remember anything, at school that was a little different or exciting for the first time?
The only thing I remember is you used to get into a fight with a Snodgrass fella. That was a little different.
You couldn't run fast as he.
No, I couldn't run as fast. I'm not to get away from.
Did that school have a gymnasium upstairs at that time?
No, there was a
assembly hall.
Assembly hall. Yeah.
It was later used as a gymnasium. That's when I was vice principal there, they were still using it a bit for a gymnasium.
It was a gymnasium when I first went there, but then they divided in and made classes at a later time. Yeah. And then I don't know what
happened. Well, about 40, 3 or 44, they made it into two classrooms.
And of course, like most schools, the walls have all changed so many times, you couldn't recognize it.
Yeah.
Well, but, it would be before 1930, they made two classes out of it.
Yeah. The, used to be where the grade six was, it used to be a little short pair of steps where you would go and change your costumes and stuff like that. I remember I was in the rhythm band, up a stick. But I was going there. The school was only about 5 years old when you first went there. You were born in 1914.
1915, I think.
And, people were 6 years old.
Yeah.
6 or 7 years old when you went there. And they put an extension to the school later on. I don't know when that was.
I left. I don't know.
Yeah. That would be in the early 30s, I believe. That's the... we're looking at the school, the right section.
Mm-hmm.
You can pretty tell by the color.
Yeah.
The old assembly hall there, we put a play on.
Yeah.
That is the Boy Scouts in Renforth.
Right.
Put a little skit on at a something. But I remember we operated on some guy. He had gallstones.
Oh, yes. So,
and I remember... I was the nurse.
Right,
Standing at the head of the... another fellow was the surgeon.
Right.
He had a great big knife, but foot long, And this fellow was rocking back and forth, and he took the big knife, and he gave him a good cut, and he straightened right out, see? And I remember, the only thing I had to say was, the rats are deserting the ship.
Oh, yeah.
mice were coming out of the fellow's hair, you see.
Oh, yeah.
So,
so how big a Boy Scout troop would there have been then in Renforth?
Oh,
a lot of kids?
Well, I don't remember how many there were. We had three or four troops, or what do you...
Troops.
That was a whole bunch, but...
Yeah.
I've forgotten what you call the individual
sections.
Yeah. And there were probably five. Oh, maybe 15 or 20, maybe, or something. I don't know.
Pretty good. Yeah.
And then you wore the Stetson hat at that time, didn't you?
If you happened to, if you had the uniform, but most of us had. Somebody had one to have the leggings, the other fellow to have the pair of pants, and the other fellow to the hat, We didn't have nothing.
Sound like the Canadian Army today.
Yeah.
We were a motley crowd. We used to go over to the Long Island and
Jamboree?
No, camp over
there. Yeah,
okay.
We went over for a week or 2 weeks, I don't know.
The summertime. And you'd go over by boat, row over by a boat.
Yeah, we took, we had, I don't know how we got there. Well, there was a fellow in Renforth had an old putt-putt.
Yeah,
And we got, the fellow who lives on the end of the island there, Breen.
Right, yes, yeah.
He came with a scow.
Yeah.
And he took our cow. We took the cow over, you see.
Oh, yeah, so you had your milk with you.
Yeah.
Put it on for the summer.
Pardon?
Put the cow on the island for the summer type of thing?
Oh, no, we just took it over for the week or two. The weeks you were there, you
it's
see.
The milk.
Yeah, fresh milk.
And,
certainly, pretty yeah. Good. Yeah, well, and most likely there was a couple of farms there over there. You could get eggs.
Well, they were way up in the middle. There wasn't anybody in the lower end. Yeah. We were around the corner. They called it Braun. Why I don't know, but there was a nice sandy beach right around the corner.
Yeah.
That's where we were.
After
and I remember one night the cow we couldn't find her, and stayed out all night, and the next day. Barrels of milk, but the poor cow was in horrible pain.
You probably heard it crying, did you? You probably heard it crying before you saw it.
I don't know. We hunted and hunted before we found it.
Yeah.
It used to be fields, you see, down
there. Oh, yes, and, when you got through, intermediate school, you went there for 11 years?
Beg your pardon?
You went to Rossi Consolidated for 11 years?
11 years, yeah.
Yeah. And you graduated in, what year would that be?
31, I think.
1931.
Then I went into grade 12.
I was eating my first yawn at that time.
St. John High School. They didn't have grade 12 out here.
No.
You went to St. John High?
For a year, yes.
Yeah.
You went to took a program at St. John's Vocational too, didn't you?
Yeah.
You're electrical.
At a later time, I took electricity there.
Oh yeah. Wasn't after the war?
No.
No. You were a young man.
2, 3, 4 or something.
Yeah.
I was in Douglastown for a year. In between time, I think, or something. It seems to be, as I remember.
1931, so you worked for about 8 years before the war started, then, did you?
31.
Yeah. 39,
I was in Douglastown for a year, 32. And North, 33. 34, I suppose. Almost 5 or 6 years,
Well, the war started in 39, and you graduated in 1931.
Then you went to both in between.
School. High school, too. You joined the, was it the Air Force? joined the Air Force?
Yeah, I was in the Air Force.
Yes.
41, I think.
1941.
40. Yeah. 1940, I guess it would be.
And you spent some time in the northern part of Continent.
Pardon?
What part of Canada did you serve in, the northern part?
Oh, I was, most of the time I was stationed in Yarmouth for
Yarmouth.
Quite a few years.
A couple years,
and then I went up to, I was up in Goose Bay and Newfoundland for
Now, were you during the war?
Iceland.
These were flight paths to Europe or England.
Yeah, beg your pardon?
There were flight paths that crossed over Newfoundland on their way to.
Oh yes, well we.
Is this the reason why you were there?
No, I was in Goose Bay. We went up looking for a fellow. Got lost there, and he got down. We went
oh
up
yes.
Looking for him and. We went up there to Goose Bay.
Right. Oh, yes.
A couple of times. I was there more than once.
What was your favorite experience in the services? What did you like about the most?
About the Air Force?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, yeah, you had lots of
pain. I was so happy when the war was over. Right. It was wonderful. That's the only thing I liked about the Air Force was getting out of it.
Well, yes.
Dave told me a story about having a bicycle. Is that right? And how handy that was for you, and no one else had a bicycle.
It was very handy to have a bicycle. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got a bicycle in Montreal, yeah. You couldn't buy bicycles, you know, here. Then.
Sure.
I bought one I got it in Montreal and took it down and left it with a person who had a family I knew there. And then the next day I took it down, brought it down to Yarmouth on the train.
Oh, yes.
It was great that way.
Right.
You didn't have to walk up and down the airport, you know.
Right.
Long walk, miles.
Yeah. The problems with bicycles at that time was getting tires for them.
Yeah.
And this sort of patching them.
I must have had flat tires, but I don't remember.
All the tubes were mostly patches.
No, I just remember him telling me about you were jumping on it and you were saying how great it was because you didn't have to make these long walks back and forth.
Oh, yes, it's great.
You could use your bicycle.
Down in Yarmouth, it rains all the time. I used to have a raincoat. And I get it caught in the sprocket once in a while and give it a great rip, you know?
Oh, yes.
So, it was tattered, all, you know, it was all tatters down. So I was going by the office one time where the old regimental sergeant major was stationed. And he hollered at me, you see, and... I went over and he said, why don't you get a decent coat? Why are you wearing that disreputable looking thing, you see? And then he noticed who I was. He said, sorry.
Yeah, he probably wanted your bike.
I know him, you know, but he thought he was going to be very overbearing on this poor little fellow.
How was the meals when you were in the Air Force? Pretty good, were they?
Pardon?
The meals were pretty good when you were
in the Air Force. Oh, excellent, yes. No, yeah, they were good. Yeah.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything wrong with them. We had a dietitian up in Goose Bay, in Goose Bay.
Right.
Yeah, we had a dietitian.
Really?
She came in.
Make sure you ate the proper
all thing. Kinds of milk to drink. That was when milk came out in powdered form first. I remember she came in and we supplied us with milk and then on, which was nice. You get a good drink of milk whenever you want.
Now, when you come out.
Pardon?
After the war ended and you come out, you started working in the electrical trade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you had an old woody wagon. first woody wagon I ever saw.
Is that right?
Yeah. What year would that be?
Yeah, well, that was an old... I had a an Oldsmobile 49, was it, or something? Would it be that?
I don't
can't
know.
Remember.
No, it wouldn't be that new.
30s.
Yeah, it was quite an old looking car.
It had the wooden sides on it?
Yeah.
I had a wooden, I think wood. I had a 38.
I think it was a 38.
38 Ford.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I had a 38 Ford, that's right, so.
Time you got the extension cord ladders on top of her.
Oh, I got it from a fellow up in Gagetown, that's right. The Ransom Garage in Gagetown, Briggs.
Yeah.
You were talking about
Bridges Motors in Gagetown.
They're
a Ford dealer. I had a 42 Chrysler Woody Wagon, wooden doors and
We all went to Florida in it.
Really?
46.
I think you're right about.
He fixed it up so you could, with a stove and bunks and everything.
I was an early motorhome man.
When you think back, when you first went to school, there was quite an improvement in the roads. When did they first pave the highway up to the school there?
Well, the highway from... St. John de Rossi was paved in 1920, I think.
Oh, 1920, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just sort of tar.
Oh, yeah, it was sort of a tar coat.
Because we used to go down, we had our shoes always had a hole in the bottom. You'd go down and get in the tar, and that'd give you soles.
For another week.
Pretty good sole, yeah. I remember that.
So did you always have your own electrical business, or did you work for somebody else?
I always worked for myself mostly, almost altogether.
I understand you're still working at it a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I point.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a house out there now.
Upper
Gold
Grove. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So how many years did you trade now altogether from when you first took your training and got into the electrical field?
Well, I didn't do much before the war.
It's only been the last 60 years or so that you've worked in.
Have you ever thought about retiring or anything like that?
I beg your pardon?
Did you ever think of... retiring or...
Oh, yes, I'm going as soon as I get old.
Another 8 or 10 years, right?
Dave, what did you say about taking the train to St. John? You used to jump on the train, you said.
St.
John.
Cold. Oh, yeah, I used to go into... When I was going to Volk, I used to get the train.
Yeah, it used to be one that's around 8 o'clock in the morning there. The suburban
crew? Yeah, they had two trains around the town in the morning.
Yeah. One, I think, came from Halifax, and the other one came from Sussex, I believe.
I don't know. I suppose they both came from Moncton, but I don't know.
Yeah. Not that way.
And so where were you? You went on the train. I suppose you catch it right down here somewhere, or...
I'd catch it if I have to run for it. It was always late.
Yeah, but where? Down at Faribault Station?
Renforth. I didn't.
And then where would you get off in town?
At the Union Station, which was right at the...
Yeah. And then you'd have to walk from there over to vocational school?
Yeah, or get a drive.
A drive?
Well, sometimes, once in a while. I'd walk half the way.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a fellow who used to live, he had a delivery.
Right.
Stan Cannon.
Yeah.
And he was used to going that way. I'd often get a drive with him.
Yeah.
Well, it's a long way out to Douglas Avenue.
Well, if you were catching it at 8 o'clock out in Renfort to be to school for 9 o'clock in the morning, you'd have to have pretty good connections there, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. You know. Usually make it.
Now, that train wouldn't stop anywhere between Renfort and Union Station.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it would?
Yeah, stop at Tyburn and Brookville.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah.
And once in a while, I think it stopped at Colebrook also.
Yeah. Really?
Colebrook. Brookville.
God, you wonder if you'd ever get there.
That was the main, in 48, that was the main way of traveling to St. John.
I think it was 20 after 8 when it came to Renforth, but I'm not sure, you know.
Yeah, well, I was about it, because it was about 8
o'clock. But it must have made pretty good time.
Yeah.
Because I used to travel on.
So when did you move to out of Renfort up to Fairdale?
Up to here, oh, 1960, approximately, more or less, I think.
1960?
Yeah.
It's only been 40-some years.
I was reading the history Norma Dykeman has prepared, and she mentions Norma Dykeman used to live over here, sister. Yeah. What's her sister's name?
Connie. They were school teachers. Norma was a school teacher.
Yeah.
She lived up the road here. Yeah.
And she mentions, she doesn't mention this house as a Carter house. She mentions it as a large boarding house here at that time when the shipyard was running. And
used to board some of the shipyard
employees.
She'd probably remember that.
Yes, and there were smaller houses, self-contained houses for the workers on the left-hand side going down the road here. Now, they were fairly small and probably no sign of them now. And because and once the shipyard finished, this became a summer residence for people who would want to spend a few days in the summer. They took summer people in.
Right here.
Yeah, right here, yeah.
And that's where the Titus's owned it, that?
Yeah.
Or was that?
Oh, no, I got.
Because there was a Henry Titus was the one who built it.
Yeah.
He built this house, and then the Carters had it after that.
Yeah.
Or the Fennedy.
How old is the house?
Oh, I haven't.
1870, I think. It's about 1870, I think.
1870?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How many rooms in it?
Well, there's two parts to this house.
Okay.
There's an addition. When was this addition always there?
This is the addition.
This part here is the addition here that we were sitting in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see.
I have a picture somewhere.
Yes.
Where is it?
The living room a long time ago, you mean?
Beg pardon?
No, see,
a picture of what day? Yeah. Oh, the house. This one?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
That was taken in 1901.
Oh,
was it?
Yes. Yeah.
See, this part wasn't on. This piece was put on.
We have to.
I wonder, can we borrow that and get a copy to bring that back to you?
Sure.
Paul next door has that on his computer. He could send it to you.
Oh, good. I'll give you my email address if I had a pen.
That's the house there, is it?
Here, this is the
peak. Oh, I see. Oh, yeah.
My side of the house. And see, Dave's is the squared off, and it's not there.
Right.
Now, this house is still standing. It's right. It's the next house down, but there was apparently a fence all the way down.
Right.
And the barn.
I'll give you my email address a little later, and then they can send it to me.
Okay, sure.
I
was under the impression these little houses on this road were cottages. Didn't you say, Dave, that these little houses used to be cottages along the river and that they moved them
I
up?
I thought that this house, which is Township Road, was brought up from down by the shore. But I'm not sure. I'm not absolutely positive. I think that it's that house is in that picture, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a picture.
Yes, the one right next to us is.
Yeah. 10 Shipyard.
Yes, the one you own.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's there.
It looks like it.
And you say it was moved up to that point? Or?
Pardon me.
Yes.
I want to put a stick on the fire.
Sure.
It's a cold night.
Last night.
Oh, yeah.
So you were told it was a boarding house, right?
Well,
for the people who worked at Shapiro. Right.
And these would be single people. Mm. That, but if there was a family, they had a little, cottage.
I see. Right.
See, the man would be working probably 12 hours a day, 6 days a week anyway. Mm-hmm. So it would be, if it be just for his wife and probably his family.
Right.
Do you have any other pictures of, older pictures of the houses in the area or what have you?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's we're also looking for that, for the Fairvale area. We're sort of sadly missing some of the early history of Fairvale, and so we're looking for pictures.
Your Dave's family was
all over the house.
Mostly East Riverside.
Yeah.
And
oh, yes. Your house in the Renforth area. What street was it on?
It's on the main highway.
It's on the main highway.
It's in Riverside, actually. It was Riverside at one time.
Right. Okay. Yeah. It's in Riverside.
The other side of the golf course, then.
Would you have a picture of that house?
Further down. 2242 Rossi Road.
Yes, there are pictures of it around.
Similar to this house. Yeah. The one with the church window at the peak?
Yeah. Yeah.
2242.
Rossi Road.
Yeah.
What we'll do when we're done, Gene can leave you his phone number and so on, and if you find some of those, you give him a call, and we'll come get them and have them copied. Bring them back to you. Yeah.
I don't know just where I booked it.
I have a file away somewhere.
Well, that's all right, Dave. We'll get that later. We got the machine going here, so.
Dave, perhaps. Yeah, they said they could come back for it another time.
Sure.
So what questions are you going to ask? Let's see.
This is a picture of my brother. But the house isn't in it.
Oh, yeah.
That's my younger brother.
He was a good-looking fellow.
Yeah, he and I are both good-looking. He may come here this year, he says, in Surrey.
So, what did you have for a family, Dave?
No family.
No.
My wife and I. One and onlys.
Oh, okay.
How long ago since your wife passed away, Dave?
Pardon?
When did your wife pass away?
95. Here's a picture of my mother. She's a fine-looking lady.
My mother was 6 months shy of her 100th birthday when she died.
Really?
She wasn't very big.
And Dave looked after her here and
out. Is that right?
Yeah.
She's about the size of me.
Big woman.
Hmm?
A big woman, huh?
Yes.
you get your looks from her anyway.
Yes, my daughter, who isn't my daughter, but
your stepdaughter.
Stepdaughter. Okay.
Yeah.
In the 1920s, I believe there was a couple of river boats along the
They weren't running when I went.
They're all through running at that time?
The only time I was ever on a riverboat, I missed it. Yeah, I was up in just where you turn up the river in St. John River there. Oh, yeah. I was coming home. I was just a kid, you know. And I was up visiting my cousin there.
Right.
And I was supposed to put the flag up, and I didn't know enough to put the flag up, you know. I went down, waited, and the boat went right by.
That was supposed to be the signal.
Yeah, you put the flag up and stop, and they'd come into the rowboat and get you and take you out to the rowboat. But I missed it. So I had to come down the train, and it was late at night. And I remember I was scared to death, you know, coming down, and I was, oh, very uncomfortable. And this fellow on the train spoke to me and told me, you know, we're coming to the bridge. We're coming to the bridge in St. John, coming across the harbor there. And he says, you're all right. Yeah. Which I was glad to... Yeah, I was a timid little fellow, you know. That was quite an experience for me.
You were talking to me about Mr. Carter. This place got its name. You were talking to me one day about Mr. Carter. What did he do for a living, Mr. Carter?
Oh, he was the
school.
He was benefacted. He was very much interested in educating us young fellows so that we'd know a little bit.
Is he the school inspector, wasn't he? You say he was the school inspector one time.
Yeah, I was.
Truant officer, maybe.
He wasn't the inspector, but he gave out all the prizes and things.
Oh,
you know.
That's right.
I remember my brother made a chicken coop out of laths, you know.
Right.
Well, then he made another one for me. I nailed a couple of nails in it, I think. But his was a little better because he had a knob on the door, you see.
Right.
He got first prize and I got second prize. But this old Screwfoot used to, Carter, he used to give the presents out, you know.
Why did they call him Screwfoot?
Or the prizes.
Hmm? Yes. Why did they call him Screwfoot?
Oh, yeah. His foot turned one side, you see. Yeah. And as he walked along, he kind of... His foot got a screw. They called him the Screwfoot Carter.
Now, what grade level would you have been in then?
What? The grade?
Yeah, what would that have been, like junior high school? Or?
Oh, no. Earlier than that.
Oh, yeah.
In grade 5, I think, or 4 or 5 or something.
And so these chicken coops, they'd be just a modeled or a full-size one, or what?
Oh, no, we had chickens in them.
Well, what you had to do, see...
We had a fair or something at the school, you see, and everybody brought the chicken coops.
The idea...
Or whatever they had.
The coop was just big enough for the mother hen, okay?
Yeah.
And the mother hen was forced to stay in the coop, and the little ones would never leave the mother hen, see?
Oh.
And so this is the idea. You didn't have to have a big thing. Because the little chickens used to go wild, but they wouldn't go too far from the hen.
Well, these chicken coops were quite, you know, they were this high.
Yeah.
Quite big, you know.
Some of them had a door that you could open up to put the water in and to feed for the old mother hen. And she'd cluck on the little ones and come on.
Did you say they provided lunch as well to school?
A big one?
Didn't you say that they made your lunch at school as well?
Oh, yeah, we used to have good lunches. Yeah, they'd hot something or other. Something always at noon, we had a hot meal.
Yeah.
For several years, and then they stopped it.
During the war, they had that. Either it was pea soup or tomato soup.
Really?
And a mugful of it, and the girls, all that domestic science.
Class, yeah, that's right.
They would be the ones that did the cooking.
After Winnie Darling used to go to school there. And she was in in the domestic science,
right.
You know, and made the soup and stuff.
Right.
But one time, she said that she went down to serve out the soup, you know. It was a small mouse in the soup. So they just threw it away. Just kept serving the soup.
Well,
didn't want anybody to get mad because there wasn't a mouse in every soup.
This was years after she told me, you know, this. But we had good lunches, you know. Good, but then they stopped. The girls made good lunches down there. Yeah.
Did you have to pay for them, or was that?
Oh, no, it was all free.
Really?
Well,
every day there'd be something a little different. Whatever they happened to be making, teaching down the
A lot of kids going to school with very little, anyway.
That was their big meal of the day.
Yeah, and it would be, if they did have a sandwich, well, you know, a soup along with a sandwich, we'd think probably be fairly nourishing.
Yeah.
I remember, I better not say anything about personality.
Yeah.
Okay. Section here in cultural activities. You was telling me that you were acted out in a play. Well, that was it. Just one show, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Were you in any sports or anything like that?
Oh, well, everybody in the school took part in
sports activities.
Sports. All the boys, anyway. Yeah. I remember my sister was a real good runner. She used to... She outdistanced all the others.
Yeah. Were you in track and field yourself?
Carnell Stack, do you remember him?
No.
He used to live in Fairville, right by the underpass there. Right.
Was he a runner or? Was he a runner or a?
A runner?
Yes.
He was a good athlete.
Yeah, he was.
He used to skate and. You're a good skater.
You were going to you were in school before the Steel Boys all went to school.
Yeah, they were pretty well out of school when I can't remember them in school, but I do remember them afterwards.
Would Jeff Sayre have been in school at the same time you were? Later became the fire chief.
Yeah, Jeff. I don't remember him going to school with us. I don't remember him, but I think he went up to, he probably went up on the hill.
RGS?
Jimmy Crosby went to school with me. For the same age as I.
The molasses.
Sticky icky molasses. He was quite a plump fella, and he used to put rubber boots on and run around to try to get a few pounds off so he could be in a certain class in athletics, you know.
Really? Yeah.
He'd put rubber boots on and run around the track. Boy, he was really conscientious about it.
You got into too much molasses today.
Yeah.
He was into too much molasses.
He was a nice fellow.
There was a section here on industry. There wasn't very much industry as such, but there was quite a few retail stores from Renforth to Rossi when you were going to school.
The store right at the foot of Fox Farm Road.
Fitzgerald's.
Yeah, well, Colby owned it when...
Before Fitzgerald's?
Before that. And it was only half as big as then was later.
And then
it was just a little small store.
There was another store at East Riverside, I think, O'Brien's, was it?
Cunningham's owned that store before that.
Before O'Brien's,
who owned there? I stayed there because we had we got scarlet fever, I think. No, what was it? Jim got a contagious disease, my brother.
Right.
And so Harold and I stayed up in that store with the Renshaws.
Right.
Jimmy Renshaw's.
Right. Yeah.
Mother and father.
Mother, yeah.
And we stayed there for a couple of weeks so that we could go to school and not be quarantined.
Oh, yeah. Was it diphtheria or mumps or what would it be?
I can't
more serious than the mumps because everyone had the mumps.
Yeah.
When I was small.
I don't know. I can't remember.
And then there used to be a place called the Villa on the after the O'Brien store, Cunningham store. But I don't know if that was a store or not. It was a little stuccoed yellow building, and the McCrays lived there. There was a Charlie McCrae that got killed during the war. He was the oldest one in the family.
I think so. But right up at the corner in Riverside, Gibbon was going to have a store there, but he did have one there. They did have a little store there, but he was going to have a bigger place. He got me to help him do some work in the place. I've forgotten what it was now.
Now, where was this located?
It was right at the end of, just at the corner of Riverside there, above the golf links.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That, opposite the Gibbon Road.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Opposite, towards St. John, a little way from the Gibbon Road. Oh. They're right on that corner there.
Right.
He was in the coal business in St. John. He brought all the old coal buildings when he went out of business, and all the old coal buildings out, and he was going to build a...
Right.
But it never, I don't think he ever... Yes, I guess he did open up eventually.
What, use them as stores, or... Convert them into
a little store, and he was going to have tourist cabins too and things.
Yeah, it'd be some nice thing to clean up with.
Yes, all of us. It was a horrible. That's what I was doing. That's what he was hired me for. To clean the things up.
Did you remember the Star Coal Company? They had two chain-driven trucks.
Yes.
And they were the boxes.
Yes, I remember those.
About as high as man lofts, big wheels on it. But I never really gave them much thought. But I heard them always saying, "There's you shouldn't be on the road and all this sort of thing."
Yeah.
Well, they kept them right on the pavement. They never took them on.
They just delivering coal for home.
Right. Yeah. Well, mostly bags.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they could dump them or anything. They just pass the bags down. Used to put the bag on the end, and then you had to turn around and put your back against it and reach back and grab the handle of the bag and that bring the head, and the bag would come with you.
And the dirt would all be down the back.
They had a chute in the back of the truck, didn't they? And they put the bag underneath it and fill it up and then...
Put her
up in the back of their back.
A lot of the...
carried up three flights.
The coal thing, you were saying?
Yeah, that's the way they carried and delivered the coal.
Remember the box? I was asking you what that was, and that apparently helped.
Oh,
the coal.
Yeah, that's the coal.
Put your coals in,
And would you say those hands... Oh, you pulled those.
Anything of value in there?
No, it's just some paper.
I haven't looked in there.
No mice. What were you saying about that place? Across from on the, kind of try to describe it. Across from Rothay High, just up a little bit, you said there used to be a restaurant there? People used to come from in town because it was the only place you could...
Oh, that was in later years, yeah.
Kenny's Restaurant? Kenny's Restaurant?
It was still there in the 60s when I moved there, right about across from the Bank Commerce.
Oh, yeah. That was Wilson's Grill.
Wilson's Grill, yeah.
Yeah.
Parkland House now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there used to be down where the bank is.
Wilson. Wyman Wilson opened it up,
yeah.
Originally.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a good cook.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did a big business there.
There, yeah.
That was when the theater was going.
Well, yeah. Yeah, when they had, there was a Hoyt that ran the theater there, too.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Jerry.
Yeah.
He wasn't
no relationship.
I ran the machines there for quite a few years.
For a while, yeah.
Well, for all the time it was in this business. So.
Ran the what machines? The projectors? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Projectors, so. They had, at that time, they had come-ons, like they would serials, you know, go from one week to the next.
Yeah.
You know, and it would show somebody laying on the track and a train coming down. And of course, that was the end. You had to come back next week and see what happened.
Yeah.
Jeepers, it wasn't.
I don't think we ever ran serials.
Later. Yeah, she did, because that just was the first time that I could afford to go to a show. Yeah, when that...
Jerry was in the film business, you
see. Oh, yeah.
I went to Sydney with Jerry one time. He was selling films. He used to sell films.
There used to be a restaurant at where the bank is now, Bank of Nova Scotia. Used to be called Kenny's Lunch or whatever. And just a little lunch counter in there.
Pardon?
Where the bank is now, Bank of Nova Scotia, there used to be a little restaurant there for, from about 44 to 48 maybe. I think they call it Kenny's Restaurant or whatever.
And then, right opposite the school?
Yeah, just about. No, it was up a little further. Up a little further.
Yeah. Used to be a butcher shop there.
Dixon's.
Dixon's butcher shop.
Yeah, used to run a meat shop there.
Yeah. Yeah, meat shop. Yeah. I remember going to school and there was a fellow by the name of McCarthy. And... He at dinner time, he'd run over and get some meat, you know.
Right.
Well, he ran over and he got this big piece of bologna, I think it was, or something. He was just going to eat him, and he remembered it was Friday. He was a cat. He couldn't eat. He was bad. Damn it, it's Friday. Joe McCarthy. Joe? Yes. What was his name?
There must have been a lot of prominent people that you remember in the Rossi area or Fairville area and so forth. Can you remember any of those?
I was the only one that was very prominent. You know, the rest of them didn't know their name.
I just wondered if you followed...
I don't think there were any.
Followed politics,
Gordon Fairweather.
Hugh Mackay.
His mother is prominent in my mind. Because she and I didn't see eye to eye at everything.
Right.
You know, we didn't seem to get along.
She was going to tell you how to be an electrician, was she, or what?
Yeah, I used to do some work. I'd tear the house apart too much for her. You know, she didn't like... She bought a puck. It's a hard... That old house of Mackay's, it's impossible to wire. You know, real
one.
I imagine. The cement. about a foot up on the, all the way around to keep the mice from going in, you know, I suppose. You couldn't get, you know, wires in through the thing. Oh, sorry, no. That's a tough spot.
Dave, you said that Margaret Ann Ireland lived here. She lived on my side of the house.
Yeah. She lived here.
Was she on this side?
Yeah.
I think, isn't she the one that somebody had already recorded her years ago?
I think so.
Yeah, I think she's been contacted for the same purpose. So.
Okay.
Pardon?
She's already been interviewed for this same purpose a few years back.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but two out of the same house then.
Oh, that's good.
This must be a prominent household.
She lived away down in
Renforth or
down the shore.
Right. No.
Margaret Ann?
She moved to Redhead.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Right.
And the gentleman who owned this house, the Fennedys, he ran the newspaper in St. John, is that right?
I don't know. I didn't know.
George F. Fennedy?
Okay.
Yeah.
You must be a bit of a historian yourself, are you?
Well, I just was curious about this house because we had lived here for a while. So.
Yeah.
Did a little research in the archives in St. John Museum.
Well, excuse me, maybe you can help us a little bit on the, when the house was built, you know, exactly.
Right.
Do you know when the house was built exactly?
I have it written down, yes. But I think what you said, the 1871, that sounds about right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's when the shipbuilding was going on.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I have it written down.
Andrew Watt, when I went to school, was a prominent person in Fairvale. Do you remember him? He was a Navy architect, worked for St. John Dry Dock.
Your name?
Andrew Watt.
Gosh, I don't even remember.
No, I remember that he used to coach us a little bit playing soccer.
Because yeah.
He was a...
Oh, I think so.
He was quite a soccer player in his day.
Parnell Stacks up in Hampton there. You should go in to see him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm? He's in the...
Dr. Snows?
Hmm?
Dr. Snows?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Snows. He lived here... Well, I was going to school. We went to school together.
What's his name?
Parnell Stack. He's a year older than I am.
Parnell? Stack, S-T-A. He's at in
Dr. Hampton. Snows?
Dr. Snows.
Yeah.
He probably will remember lots of things about Fairvale that would be interesting.
Well...
But I don't know for sure.
Up to a particular time, you know, just before the war, Fairvale was a summer place. All these little side roads, were just summer places. And people traveled back and forth by the train, you know, and for transportation and so forth. And it was great to get out of the dust, coal dust.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell people that years ago when they walked down the streets of St. John, they'd be as black as coal. I mean, from the dust. You know,
really?
The snow was black.
I lived in Fairvale, and I had my family come out to Fairvale when I was 4 years old.
Right.
Really?
At the end of River Road.
For summer place, or?
Yeah.
Summer
place. Yeah. My father owned a little house there at the end of River Road, and I think she perhaps was an aunt or something, owned another house right beside it.
Right.
They too. So they lived there, but that would be in
1918,
I think. Yeah.
Did you always have, when you were young, 5 and 6 years of age, did you have oil lamps or electricity in your home?
We always had electricity.
You always had electricity.
My father had the house wired when we moved in, or just before we moved in.
Yeah, right.
So we always had electricity in the house.
Yeah.
And I don't ever remember oil lamps. So.
How about the telephone first? You'd have telephones too at that time.
Oh yeah, I was telephoning. Telephone.
Would you have using the Rossi? Would you be using the Rossi telephone operator?
Yeah, I'd call them in Rossi.
Yeah.
Ring.
It used to be a Pierce.
Yes.
It'd be around that. And she has a
Pierce. Len Pierce's sister. I don't know what her name was.
There's a Pierce cottage down Rossi Park that still carries the name.
Yeah.
And she used to live there. Now, she had been gone years ago. I don't know where.
We were going to school. I remember we used to... Oh, yeah. We'd call up the... we were at a party.
Right.
So we called the... operator, you know,
right.
And then we'd call somebody. You had to do it through the operator, and give them our number, and then the lady'd come and we'd ask the lady if she was the lady who washes. Are you the lady who washes? And she'd say no. You must be getting kind of dirty by now. But yeah. One time we were up at in Rossi there, a bunch of us in the afternoon, and we called, and then the lady who we spoke to called the operator, and then the operator called us, and we got into trouble, considerable trouble.
What a tongue lashing! Yeah. Oh dear.
We're at Ellis's house. It'd be in the Maiden Lane there, at the end they lived. Ellis's lived up there. Marjorie Ellis and other.
Maiden Lane. Yeah, that'd be.
I can't remember the other.
Forget now. Put it there now. How about the post offices? Where was the post office when you were young?
The post office in Renforth.
And the Fitzgeralds?
Fitzgerald Post Office.
Yes.
I used to put in later years, I put an alarm system in there because they always broke in about every year, or twice a year, they break in and steal stuff. But I put an alarm system in with a photo cell, I think it was. And the alarm started going off, and they just dropped everything and ran. But they used to, as you went in the door, from so many people walking in the door, the floor was thin, you see.
Oh, sure.
So they get underneath, cut their way up through the floor. Just break their way through the floor, and get in that way, you see. And then there was a window at the back, way up high. They get in that one time. Yeah. It was a remarkable, ingenious way that they'd find to get into this little store.
Was there that much there to steal? Or?
Well, they'd take cigarettes and things like that.
Yeah.
Poor Jack Fitzgerald, it would be quite a hardship, lose. Lose a little cigarettes, things like that.
Thinking back, what was your most pleasant memory, in your lifetime? What, when you think of the area you've lived in?
Most pleasant?
Yeah.
It must be when I met the best looking girl in town. I don't know.
Every second to. The day you get out of the Air Force, eh?
Oh, yeah, yes, that was the best day. I don't remember. I don't think there were very many pleasant days in the pretty tough going, you know.
Your electrical business now, were basically a one-man outfit, or did you have other people hired?
I had a fellow working with me many years, quite a few years.
Yeah.
Gary Halby worked with me for a few years.
Okay.
Got his license, I think. So. And other fellows. Some of them weren't any good.
Most of your work was out in this area? Or
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I did some, most of it, Mark Bishop.
Yeah.
A few buildings in town.
What was the most distressing?
Prince William Street.
What was the most distressing period in your life, do you believe?
I beg your pardon?
The most distressing period in your life, what would that be? Or, what's your name?
Be hard to know about that. I think probably was the last few months I was in Iceland. I was so anxious to get out of the Iceland. Oh, that was a
count the hours, eh?
Yeah.
Hmm? Just counting the hours when you were done.
I was so happy to get out of Iceland. I forget how we came back. We didn't. We went over in old Kansas, but I can't remember how. I don't remember coming back. I can't remember.
Well, you. It sounds to me that you had a real interesting life. In summing up, I was just wondering if there's any references as to. Other people you think that might be, give us a hand and bring them up
some information. You'd like to interview.
Yeah, that'd be an interview, yes.
Well, Parnell's the only person I know that would... old-timers, eh?
Yeah.
Well, you can have old-timers, but some of them it's hard to communicate with, you know.
Yeah.
And this is why I asked you, because I thought...
You thought he was going to be hard to communicate with.
Yeah. Well...
Just because he couldn't understand you when you mumbled, Gene, that doesn't mean that
I have a little trouble hearing...
better than mine, I think.
...any background noise.
Me too.
What about Phil Hurst? Have you spoken with Phil?
What?
Phil Hurst?
No, I haven't spoken to him. Where is he living now?
Phil.
I wonder if Phil wouldn't... He's a real storyteller.
He's had quite a life. He's written two books about...
It wouldn't be...
War.
He might be able to...
And he just lives right down the road here.
Okay.
How long has he lived here?
Oh, how long has Phil lived here, Dave?
He came in at...